Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. We're going to speak about three things the gospel brings. Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6. Here we read where Paul writes, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you knew of it," or knew the grace of God in truth. Father, bless us now as we look into your word. Bless, Lord, this time. May your spirit give us eyes to see and a heart to receive. May he teach us now from your word. For the glory of Christ, do we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, please be seated. And thank you so much for your gift for Ukraine and gifts to Ukraine. It is amazing and very humbling, and we thank you very much for that. And look forward one day to sending pictures of a new church that's in that region of Kyiv, and by God's grace, the Bible Institute meeting there as well. As you look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 5, we read, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The very first thing we see that the gospel brings is the gospel brings hope, right? It brings hope. And we see this word here, hope, and we think about that word hope, and we're looking right now in Ukraine, and what we're finding is more than people needing the aid that we're giving is they need hope. In fact, you find this deficit of hope, the hopelessness that is just prevalent there. And man without Christ is what? Is without hope. Remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. No Christ, no hope, right? You might have money, you might have a nice home, you might have a lot of different things, but if you don't have Christ, you have no hope. But number two there, man with Christ has a what kind of hope? A certain hope. And that's what this word right here, as we read, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." It's not talking about a maybe-so hope or a hoping hope. Like you might talk to a Catholic and say, "Well, when you die, where will your soul go?" And what will the Catholic say many a time? Say, "Well, I hope I'm going to heaven." What do they mean? Well, that's what I would like it to be. That would be nice if it was that way. That's what I wish it to be. But is there any certainty in what they're saying? No. But guess what? The Bible is saying here, we have a certain hope, right? It is an absolutely for sure hope. And the gospel of Jesus Christ brings that hope. You say, well, how does the gospel of Jesus Christ, how does it give such a certain hope? Well, first of all, we can consider because we have a God who has promised this hope, a God who is faithful to his word. What a wonderful thing it is to stand before people right now and see those eyes looking back at you in Ukraine, eyes of hopelessness, and to be able to preach them a message with authority that's coming from the word of God. There is a hope that is here because we have a God who is faithful and true to his word, but also we have a Savior who defeated death from the tomb and is a living hope, right? You think about Muhammad in Islam. I've read that Muhammad was poisoned and 10 days later died from the effects of the poisoning. And they buried Muhammad in the ground, and guess what? No one's seen Muhammad since, have they? Is there a hope in that? I mean, what kind of hope is that, right? We could talk today about Buddha, and I've read that Buddha died of food poisoning. And, you know, he had some kind of, it was contaminated pork, and he died from the food poisoning, and they buried Buddha in the ground. By the way, it makes you wonder when you go to the Chinese restaurants, you see the little statues of Buddha. You think, I don't need to be reminded of that, because do you know how Buddha died? Right, food poisoning. But they buried Buddha in the ground. Anyone seen Buddha since? No one's seen Buddha since, right? But Jesus Christ, yes, he suffered on that cross to pay the price of our sin. He died on that cross, but he rose from that grave, defeating death. We serve a living Savior. One of our men, Nikolai, pastors on the eastern side, Kharkiv. And again, Kharkiv got hit very hard today. Many there without power, without electricity. It's a major city and just a lot of heartbreak there. But he had a secular refugee center director came to him and said, "Well, listen, these refugees, 450 that we have here, they have no hope." This is the director's words. They have no hope. And then he said to Nikolai, he said, I don't care what you teach from your Bible. And what he means by that, I know you're not Orthodox, and I know you're probably going to teach something different than what the Orthodox teach, but that's okay. He said, do you have a message of hope from your Bible? Do we have a message of hope? One of Zelensky's guys in his office, President Zelensky, has traveled and heard us now, heard me preach the gospel multiple times. He is also Orthodox, and pray for him. His name is Nazar. I've given him a Bible and had a one-on-one discussion with him on the gospel. And he went to his Orthodox priest. I want you to listen to what he said to his Orthodox priest. He said, you know, he said, these Baptists, they're trying to help our people. They're bringing aid. They're trying. And he says, they're bringing them a message of hope, a message that's encouraging them, is what he's saying. He said, what are you doing? Well, they don't have a message of hope, do they? If you have to earn your way to God and make yourself good enough for God to receive you, how is there any certain hope in that? Because we all know deep within we're not good enough, right? We're insufficient. Man, the only hope is resting in the complete work of Jesus Christ, who completely satisfied the wrath of a holy God by his shed blood and proved it all, validated it by his resurrection from the grave. We have a living hope. We were over in Lithuania, and we served there, and we met one time out knocking on doors, a woman by the name of Olga, and I knocked on her door. It was in the evening, and she just barely cracked her door open just a little bit that evening. And I passed her an invitation. I think I gave her a John Romans. I maybe gave her a track and began talking to her. And she was just very quiet, very suspect of who we were, but she kept the crack door open. I said, well, Olga, if you were to die, where would your soul go? And she said, well, my soul would go to hell. I said, really? And you heard that, you hear that very rarely, don't you? Most think, well, I'm hoping heaven. I think I'm good enough. She said, my soul would go to hell. I said, Olga, why would God send you to hell? She said, because I've sinned against God. I said, well, Olga, I've got some good news for you tonight. I said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came and he died for your sin, that you might have peace with God, that you might have heaven as your home. Now, nothing happened that night. But we left and invited her to our services, and she started coming to church and started coming pretty faithfully. She was hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel, and then one day came when Olga put her trust and faith in Christ and received that hope. Later, when I was stepping down from the church there in Vilnius, and God was moving us to another ministry, and she came up to me afterwards, and she said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. I said, what's that, Olga? Said, do you remember that night when you came and you spoke to me? I said, Olga, how can I forget that night? She says, well, there's something you don't know. She said, that night when you came, she said, I had already bought the drugs to kill myself. I was going to commit suicide that night. But you knocked on my door and you told me about Christ. And I didn't do it that night. I wanted to listen more. What happened to Olga? She heard the hope of the gospel. Maybe there's a God that can forgive me. Maybe there's a God who died for me. And I'm telling you, that's the first and one of the greatest things the gospel brings is hope. What about if they have not that gospel? What about if they're living in countries tonight, like in Tajikistan? I took some of our students to Tajikistan to do ministry there, and we have a couple of men praying about the potential of going there. 99%, the country is considered 99% unreached with the gospel. Doesn't mean 1% have been reached. Just means 1% have the potential to hear the gospel, but 99% have no potential to hear the gospel in Tajikistan. What about those that have stepped into eternity never hearing the gospel of hope? Do you think there's some people in Tajikistan that need to hear the gospel? Man, there is. And that gospel is the thing that brings that hope. Well, let's go on here and let's look at a second thought that the gospel brings. We see that the gospel brings forth fruit. Go down there with me in verse number 6. He says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth what? Fruit. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it is proclaimed and when it's preached, it brings hope. But when it's proclaimed and when it's preached, it brings forth fruit. What is the fruit of the gospel? Well, the gospel, the fruit of the gospel is what? a transformed life. Like the Vlad I shared with you earlier, who said, "Something has changed in my heart." What changed in Vlad? It was the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ coming into him and making him alive to God. It brings forth a transformed life, and transformed lives glorify God. Would you agree with that? We're thinking right now of a lady in our church. Her name is Tatiana. They're in Kyiv. And first time she came, actually she was invited three times, received three invitations to come to our church. The third time she got invited, she came. Listen, don't get tired of inviting folks, all right? Keep loving on them, praying for them, keep inviting them to come, keep sharing with them the gospel of hope. But the third time she heard, she came. She didn't get saved first time. She listened, came back again, listened again, came again, and said, "Pastor, I want to receive Christ." She prayed right there publicly and asked Christ to save her. Well, a few weeks later, she was talking with Julie after a service, and she said, "You know, before salvation, I didn't like to sing. But," she said, "coming here and now after my decision for Christ, I just can't sing enough. I just want to sing." Do you have that desire to sing His praises? You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it brings forth fruit. It brings transformed lives, and transformed lives glorify God. We need to preach that gospel and plant the seed of that gospel if we're going to see souls reached with that gospel. Amen? The seed of the gospel can bring forth fruit. What's that last word? Anywhere. I think I have a quote here from Charles Spurgeon. "Never lose heart in the power of the gospel. Do not believe that there exists any man, much less any race of men, for whom the gospel is not fitted." Listen, the gospel is for everyone. You know what gives me great boldness? When I stand before those people there in Ukraine and they're looking back at me again with those hopeless eyes, and I know they're coming from Orthodox backgrounds and very difficult things, I can stand there and I can share with them the hope of this book, knowing that that gospel is for them. Knowing that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Knowing that it's the will of God that every man hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we were given the commission, when Christ gave that commission to the disciples, it was to go into all the world. Mark's gospel, to go to every creature and preach the gospel. Yet today there are estimates that only 30% of our world has heard a clear gospel presentation. That means for those of you who studied in California, the public school system, 70% of our world has not heard a clear gospel presentation. 70%. And you can take that 70% and you can break it down into two different categories. 30% of the 70, so you got 30 and 40 making 70, right? Again, in case you're from California. 30% are those that live in an area like this one with the potential to hear, just they've never directly heard the gospel. I have a friend from Topeka, Kansas, grew up Catholic, went to public schools, played on ball teams, all the rest. He said, "Derek, I didn't hear the gospel to the first time till I was 36 years old." I wonder, did his schoolmates, the teachers he had in public high school, the ball teams he played on, the neighbors he had, did no one know Christ to share Christ with Tony? There's folks that surround you right here in Lebanon that have never heard a clear gospel presentation. They've heard the Methodist version. They've heard maybe the Lutheran version. They've heard maybe some other foreign version, but they've never heard the true, authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's going to share that gospel with them? But then we've got 40% of that 70 that live in an unreached country or area. 40%. We saw that 1040 window earlier that goes across northern Africa and to the Middle East and into Asia and Southeast Asia and up above into Central Asia. And there are countries there. For example, we can go to India. Some project 95% of 1.4 billion people in India are unreached with the gospel. Now, you want to hear something kind of interesting? I've gone to Tajikistan. I shared with you earlier, 99% reached. I've done some ministry there in India, somewhere around 95% unreached. The ministry opportunities I've had in Laos, somewhere around 76% unreached with the gospel. Do you know the one thing I could always get when I'm in any of these places if I really want it? Coca-Cola. I want to ask you, in about 140 or 45 years that Coca-Cola's been in existence, it's in about 94, 95% of the world recognize the Coca-Cola logo. Now, how did Coca-Cola in 145 years reach about 94, 95% of our world, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the answer to everything for man, has only reached about 30% of our world? Are we ready for Christ to come back? Or do we have some work to do before he comes back? Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's for every man, but it cannot save a man if that man has not heard that gospel. The seed cannot bring forth fruit unless it's planted into the ground. And we need laborers who will go, and we need senders who will pray and send and give that we can finish this work that our Savior has commanded us to do. The gospel brings forth hope. The gospel brings forth fruit. Thirdly, you see there, the gospel brings the knowledge of grace. Look down in the last part of verse number 6. As it doth also in you since the day you knew the grace of God in truth. Now listen, we can take all religions in the world and we can really melt them down very simply, and maybe they have different words for God or heaven or different things, but at their very core, what they teach is this. If you want to go to the best place of the next life, you have to what? Do. You have to accomplish it by what you do. You have to earn it. You have to do it. Now, you have Mormonism, Catholicism. There's a lot of Christian isms that also fit over here in the do column. That do column, by the way, has one author. That author is Satan. That's his gospel. But over here, we have the true, authentic gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which comes from his word. And based on the authority of his word tonight, I can tell you that this one is titled D-O, but we got to add a couple of letters, N-E. It is done. It is finished. Christ has completely paid the price, right? It's a gift of God's grace paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel brings the knowledge of grace. We were over there in India in the Hinduism that is there and the 3 million gods that they serve and the chants and all the rest that goes with it. Can you imagine that bondage? When I'm over in Laos and you have the Buddhists that are there and then you have the animists that are there. And animism worships anything. It really does. It can be animate or inanimate. It could be the Mekong River. It could be the rock over there. But everything has a spirit. And the spirits, they call them demons. They come to you in their dreams. And the demon demands a sacrifice. And you make sacrifices to these demons if you want the blessing from the demon. How would you like to live under that bondage? And if you were living under that bondage, wouldn't you want someone to come to you and bring to you the knowledge of grace that the gospel gives? Absolutely, you would. The gospel brings the wonderful, blessed knowledge of grace. I was reading about Hudson Taylor, and Hudson Taylor went up the river there, one of the rivers there in China, and he came to a place where there was a Buddhist temple. And he got out of his boat to meet the people there of the temple. And they asked him, they said, would you like to meet our holy man? And he said, well, sure, I'd love to meet your holy man. And so he came on into the temple and they took him up into a room. He said when he came into a room, that the room had been blocked off. And they had just, there was no door going in behind that wall that they had built. There's no door, no window, just a little slot that was in the wall. And he said behind the wall, he could see the visage of a man walking back and forth. And what they had done from the time that man had been just a little boy, they had built the wall around him to keep him from the world, to keep him from sin, that he could be their holy man. Well, you say, well, no wall can keep a man from sin. I mean, sin takes place where? In the heart. No wall can stop that, can it? They were pretty ignorant in doing that. What is ignorance by its very definition? It is a lack of what? A lack of knowledge. What is the knowledge that they lacked? the knowledge of grace. That it's nothing that you can do to earn it, but it's what your great God, the God of all creation, has provided through his Son by giving him to die in your place for your sin, to pay the payment that you could not pay, that you might receive a gift of grace from God, that you might become a child of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it brings forth hope, it brings forth fruit, it brings the knowledge of grace. But folks, we've got to get the message out, right? We've got to get it to the world, and we need to be doing it with a sense of urgency. It's been exciting to be with you here this week and to see your sense of urgency and fervency for the gospel during this time and to send the gospel out. But listen, we all have to be having a part in this work. And I'm just going to be honest tonight, but some, you know what? We need some that will go. We need some goers. And I'd like to encourage young people and even older people. You know, Moses didn't start his ministry till he was how old, Pastor? 80 years old, right? I don't know how old Paul was when he started going into missions, but he was somewhere probably in his mid to late 40s, maybe early 50s when he went into his missionary work. But I'm just sharing that we need laborers who will go. Have you offered yourself to go? Have you said like Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me? Why do we need to wait for a call when we have a commandment from God to go? Let God confirm his call in your life to go by you surrendering to say, God, I will go if that's what you want me to do, with no strings attached, with no conditions. Lord, I am yours. Use me for your purpose, however you will, to spread your gospel in all the world. You know what? God can answer that prayer and bless that prayer in ways that you cannot imagine. And answering that, and God might not call you to go. Listen, God will call some of you to stay. And Pastor wants that to happen because he wants somebody to preach to this Sunday. But how wonderful it is to preach and have a church with those that are surrendered to go, but called to stay. Because when you're that kind of Christian, you're going to be much more active now as a sender of the gospel. And your work as a sender is just as important as those who answer the call to go are those who send. And you've already shown this week your willingness to give sacrificially to send the gospel. You've already shown to Julie and I your faithfulness in giving to Compassion to Ukraine, for Ukraine, to send the gospel there. Hallelujah for that. But there's another work that the sender has. And that is to what? To pray. And your praying for missions is just as important as your giving to missions. And just as needed. We need your prayers, right? And we all need to be active in this work. Because listen, we're coming to this point in history. And I'm excited about this point in history. We're coming to this point in history, and I think Revelation 7 lets us into the throne room where you see from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, there's going to be a representative in the room around the throne of Jesus Christ worshiping the Lamb of God, worshiping the Lamb who was slain. Listen, this is the apex, the climax of everything is when we come into that room before we enter off into eternity, when we're worshiping there at his feet. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That is the real purpose of missions. That we can see worshipers born of the Spirit of God as they hear that message of hope, as that message brings forth fruit through the knowledge of grace that it brings, and they're saved by that grace. And now, like Tatiana, they're singing his praises now, but one day we'll sing them how much greater when we come into glory together. That's why we're doing this work. We're doing it for that day and for the glory of the Lamb who was slain. I want to sing for you a song this evening, and I hope it's a blessing. It goes with How Great Thou Art, but it's the missionary version. And the first part I'm going to sing, you'll all know the verse and chorus here, but I'd really like you to pay attention to the second verse and chorus and the third. And I hope that this song and the words of this song would be your prayer. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder Consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of all the heathen millions who never knew the sound of thy sweet name, who never knew the miracle of Calvary, who never can thy great salvation claim, unless we work and pray till day is done, how can they know how great thou art, unless we give until the victory's won, how can they know how great thou art? And when they know that Jesus died to save them, and when they feel the grace that God imparts, when Jesus shines his love divine within them, he will transform their sinful heathen hearts. Then they shall sing, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then they shall sing, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Is he a great God? Is he worthy of all worship? Yes. And he's a God who desires that worship. And we are out in missions collecting worshipers for the one who is worthy. And God has given us the great privilege of participating in this. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have a mission. Let us be busy about this mission, that the gospel can bring forth hope, can bring forth fruit, and can bring forth the knowledge of grace. Father, I thank you for this evening, for the privilege of this week. Lord, we thank you for this week. I pray that you would work in our hearts. Maybe there's some here tonight, Lord, you are calling to missions. There's no greater call. Father, may they fall before you and receive this call and surrender to you for your glory. May you use them to bring forth fruit in ways we could never imagine for your glory. But for the rest of us, God, who are called to stay, we are the senders. Lord, let us be busy about sending through our financial gifts and through our sacrificial prayers until all have heard for your glory and for your praise. Thank you for this evening, Lord, in Christ's name.